A child born in 1869 would grow up to inspire Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, and countless freedom movements worldwide. Yet Mohandas Gandhi's autobiography isn't a triumphant hero's tale. It's something far more powerful, a brutally honest account of an ordinary person's lifelong struggle with truth, weakness, and transformation. This book has sold millions of copies and been translated into over 35 languages, not because it offers easy answers, but because it reveals how personal integrity can become a revolutionary force. Growing up in coastal Porbandar, young Gandhi was painfully shy, the kind of child who sprinted straight home from school to avoid conversation. His father, Kaba Gandhi, though lacking formal education, served as prime minister in several states through sheer integrity. His mother, Putlabai, practiced extreme religious discipline, once vowing not to eat until she saw the sun during monsoon season. These influences, incorruptible honesty, and spiritual rigor, planted seeds that would later bloom into Satyagraha. Gandhi's moral sensitivity emerged early, shaped by two powerful stories, Shravana, who carried his blind parents on pilgrimage, and King Harish Chandra, who sacrificed everything for truth. These tales became living ideals guiding his character. When a teacher nudged him to cheat on a spelling test, he refused, believing educators should prevent dishonesty, not enable it. Yet his development contained troubling contradictions. Married at 13 to Kasturbai, he expressed his commitment to marital faithfulness through controlling her movements and restricting her freedom. "I believed my wife's faithfulness was my right to enforce," he admits with remarkable candor. Their marriage became a battleground, with Kasturbai resisting whenever possible. Only decades later would Gandhi recognize her as an equal partner, revealing how noble intentions can manifest as oppression without self-awareness. Gandhi's adolescence brought rebellious experiments that haunted him. Influenced by a friend claiming Indians were weak without meat, he secretly consumed goat for about a year, lying to his vegetarian mother. This friendship also led him to a brothel, where he found himself unable to speak or act, an escape he attributed to Providence. His deepest regret came when his dying father needed him. Instead of staying at his bedside, Gandhi was with his wife, driven by carnal desire at such a critical hour. When summoned, it was too late. "This shame has remained a blot I could never efface," he confesses. The turning point came after stealing gold from his brother's armlet to clear a debt. Gandhi wrote a confession to his bedridden father, who read it silently as tears streamed down his face, then tore up the note. "Those pearl drops of love cleansed my heart completely," Gandhi writes. This taught him that clean confession, combined with genuine resolve, constitutes the purest repentance, a principle that would later inform his political philosophy. At 19, Gandhi sailed for England to study law, vowing to his mother to abstain from wine, women, and meat. His caste declared him an outcast for crossing the ocean, but he remained undeterred. In London, extreme shyness and vegetarianism isolated him. Unable to navigate menus, he survived on sweets and fruits from India. Gandhi's attempts to become an English gentleman reveal both humor and pathos. He spent extravagantly on fashionable clothes, a 19-shilling hat, a 10-pound evening suit, a gold watch chain, and paid for dancing, French, and violin lessons. Eventually recognizing the folly, he abandoned these pursuits. More significantly, England deepened his religious explorations. Theosophists introduced him to the Bhagavad Gita through Edwin Arnold's translation. Gandhi felt ashamed he'd never read it in Sanskrit or Gujarati. The Gita became his daily companion, the book he valued most for knowledge of truth. He also explored Christianity, finding the Sermon on the Mount deeply resonant with the Gita's teachings. However, he couldn't accept that salvation came only through Christianity. "If God had sons, weren't we all his children?" he reasoned, developing a religious pluralism that would define his spirituality. After struggling to establish a law practice in India, Gandhi accepted a one-year assignment in South Africa that would last 21 years and transform him completely. He was forcibly removed from a first-class train compartment despite having a valid ticket, and a white policeman later kicked him off a footpath. Rather than responding with anger, Gandhi analyzed these experiences as symptoms of a deeper disease. The turning point came in 1906 when the Transvaal government proposed legislation requiring all Indians to register and provide fingerprints. Gandhi called a mass meeting where Indians took an oath to resist this law nonviolently, even at the cost of imprisonment or death. He coined the term Satyagraha, truth, firmness, combining uncompromising opposition to unjust laws with respect for opponents as human beings. Throughout these years, Gandhi engaged in rigorous experiments with diet, fasting, and celibacy, practices he considered essential for spiritual development and political effectiveness. After the Zulu Rebellion of 1906, he took a lifelong vow of brahmacharya. I realized that serving humanity with my whole soul would be impossible while engaged in family life and raising children, he explains. Returning to India in 1915, Gandhi established the Satyagraha Ashram in Ahmedabad, where members vowed truth, nonviolence, celibacy, and removal of untouchability. When he accepted an untouchable family and funding ceased, he prepared to move to their quarter if necessary, demonstrating willingness to face social ostracism for principle. His first major campaign came in Champaran, Bihar, where indigo planters forced tenants into exploitative cultivation. Ordered to leave, Gandhi refused. I could not do so without doing violence to my sense of duty. Authorities backed down, and his investigation ended a century of exploitation. Similar victories followed in Ahmedabad and Quetta, each applying Satyagraha principles. Thorough investigation, negotiation, and nonviolent resistance. The 1919 Jallianwala Bagh massacre, where British troops fired on unarmed civilians, convinced Gandhi that cooperation with British rule was impossible. He united various grievances into a comprehensive non-cooperation movement, persuading the Indian National Congress to boycott British institutions while establishing parallel national ones. Gandhi concludes his narrative in 1921 as this movement gathered momentum. Gandhi's autobiography ends not with triumph, but continued seeking. My glimpses of truth are but faint glimmers of an effulgence a million times more intense than the sun, he writes. Despite decades of spiritual discipline and political struggle, he acknowledges incomplete realization of nonviolence and truth. This humility distinguishes him. Unlike leaders claiming special revelation, Gandhi presents himself as an ordinary seeker conducting replicable experiments. What unifies his contradictions, physically weak yet morally strong, politically shrewd yet spiritually innocent, is relentless honesty about failings. He confesses youthful theft, sexual temptations, controlling his wife, and Himalayan miscalculations in premature civil disobedience. In our age of polarization and moral certainty, Gandhi's experimental approach offers refreshing alternatives. His autobiography invites us not to follow blindly, but to conduct our own experiments with truth discovering, that nonviolence isn't merely political strategy, but a pathway to self-realization and social transformation. The revolution he sought was profoundly personal, courage to face weaknesses honestly, discipline to transform ourselves daily, and faith that inner work radiates outward to change the world.